My dearly beloved in Christ, Sister Lucia wrote down the third secret of Fatima and sent it to Pope Pius XII in 1957. Could somebody turn the fans on? When questioned about the contents, Sister Lucia replied, "Good for some, for others, bad." During Jacinta's serious illness, her mother asked if the secret was good or bad. "It's good for those who believe, Mother," Jacinta told her. "Believe in what?" "In God, Mother." William Walsh asked Lucia, "Have you had any revelations from Our Lady about the end of the world?" She replied, "I cannot answer that question." When questioned on the contents of the third secret of Fatima, Sister Lucy said, "It's in the Gospel and the Apocalypse. Read them." We even know that Sister Lucia one day indicated chapters 8 through 13 of the Apocalypse, the trials and tribulations of the church before the coming of Antichrist are discussed in these chapters. In Satan's final battle against the Catholic Church, he will marshal every form of sin and error, including modernism, the synthesis of heresies, in order to seduce souls. Chapter 8 of the Apocalypse foretells the rise of modernism when it describes the weakening of faith and discipline throughout the entire church. A great number of souls will harden their hearts and fall away from the Catholic Church. Many reject the true faith while others abandon it. After Vatican II, the holy sacrifice of the Mass has been replaced by a sacrilegious service. False doctrines are circulated, and even the seemingly elect have been deceived. Father Faber said that before the coming of Antichrist, there will be hardly any Mass. The majority of Catholics will apostatize, but the Church will not be destroyed. In his book, The Apocalypse of St. John, written in 1921, Father Elwood Berry described the, quote, "unfaithful bishops and priests who fall from the firmament of the Church where Christ placed them to enlighten and direct the world by false teachings," and we know what those are, modernism and ecumenism, "and bad example, they poison the very sources of doctrine. Unfortunately, many of the faithful drink from these poison streams of false doctrine and so perish." In 1921, Father Berry commented on Satan's final effort to destroy the Catholic Church, a war unto death. "Antichrist and his prophet will introduce ceremonies to imitate the sacraments of the church. In fact, there will be a complete organization, a church of Satan set in opposition to the church of Christ. Their ceremonies will counterfeit the sacraments." During the great apostasy, the church is in eclipse. Father Berry continues, "In such critical times in the past, God has raised up illustrious saints and religious orders to awaken the zeal and strengthen the faith of his people. He will most assuredly do so likewise in the future, for he said, 'Behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world.' Many a time our Lord seems to sleep as the bark of his church is beaten by the storm-tossed sea. In his own good time, he arises to command the waves, 'Peace, be still.'" My dearly beloved in Christ, before the coming of Antichrist, there'll be a weakening of faith, apostasy, moral depravity, and unbelief. And then Father Berry continues, "True Catholic doctrine is obscured and lost to many people. Like locusts, demons, heretics, and apostates swarm over the earth, spreading spiritual desolation far and wide, but they cannot destroy the church. Deceit and immorality will be prevalent." My dearly beloved in Christ, the revolt against the Catholic Church has been led by communists, secret societies, and heretics who have united. And then Father Berry continues, "Large numbers will be led into new errors," unquote. Through the grace of God, the faithful will remain steadfast despite prevalent evil and spiritual dangers. They shall patiently suffer with final confidence, with full confidence of final victory. Enoch and Elias shall appear among men as apostles of the church and adversaries of Antichrist by their preaching and miracles. Having fulfilled their mission, the two prophets will be put to death by Antichrist. My dearly beloved in Christ, we've witnessed universal apostasy from the Catholic faith. Apostasy is a rejection of the whole faith by a baptized Catholic. The resultant waves of materialism and naturalism have led countless multitudes to renounce Catholicism. Father Thomas Plasman said, "The confusion in the material and physical world is far exceeded by the confusion in men's minds and hearts." According to Father Barry, the papacy seems to be a logical impediment to the appearance of Antichrist. He says, "Satan will attempt to destroy the power of the papacy and bring about the downfall of the church through heresies. During the interregnum, that wicked one, Antichrist, shall be revealed in his fury against the church. It's a matter of history that the most disastrous periods for the church were times when the papal throne was vacant, or when antipopes contended with the legitimate head of the church. Thus also shall it be in those evil days. The church, deprived of her chief pastor, shall sink sanctuary in solitude, there to be guided by God himself in those trying times. The prophet of Antichrist will set himself up in Rome as a sort of antipope during the vacancy of the papal throne." So Father Barry wrote this in 1921. Our Lord foretold the coming of Antichrist, God's adversary, when he said, "I've come in the name of my Father, and you do not receive me. If another come in his own name, him you will receive." The man of sin, the Antichrist, the false Messiah, will be hostile to Christ's church and will draw people away from him. Antichrist must make his appearance in public before the second coming of Christ. He will have immense talents and be unparalleled in deceit, deceiving even souls consecrated to God. My dearly beloved in Christ, Scripture tells he will perform false miracles and cause people to worship him as God. St. Paul said, "The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and is exalted above all that is called God, for that is worship." So that he sits in the temple of God and gives himself out as if he were God. His influence will extend over the whole world. Antichrist will be characterized by pride and impiety and will draw people away from Christ. He will rule for 3.5 years. My dear beloved in Christ, Father Barry has written, "The desolation of those 3.5 years may be compared to that of the 3 days following our Lord's death on the cross. The faith and prayers of Mary, of the holy women, and of the apostles afforded the only consolation in those days of anguish." According to the Dictionary of Dogmatic Theology, the Antichrist will reveal himself in the last phase of the anti-Christian struggle, which rages in all times, and is slowly preparing the apparition of the son of perdition at the end of time. My dearly beloved in Christ, the coming of Antichrist will be the final battle between the Catholic Church and the powers of hell, between the woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the serpent, Satan. It'll be the complete realization of the prophecy of Genesis. "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head." According to scripture scholars, the seed of the woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary, is our Lord and his faithful followers. The seed of the serpent, Satan, is Antichrist and his followers. Concerning the final battle, Sister Lucia stated, "The Most Holy Virgin made me understand that we're living in the last times of the world. She told me that the devil is in the process of engaging in a decisive battle against the Blessed Virgin, And the decisive battle is the final battle, where one side will be victorious and the other will suffer defeat. From now on, we must choose sides. Either we're for God or we're for the devil. There's no other possibility. My dearly beloved in Christ, in this final battle, some people will remain faithful to our Lord in the Catholic Church, and many will be martyred. Father Faber said, the horror of Antichrist persecution against them will be unparalleled. Saints will be greater than ever, martyrs greater. As the first fought against men, the latter will fight against devils. They will be Our Lady's saints, namely through this total consecration to Jesus through Mary, as taught by St. Louis Marie de Montfort. The book Begone Satan is an account of an exorcism that took place in Erling, Iowa, in 1928. The victim was a woman cursed by her own father and possessed from her 16th to her 40th year. After a 33-day exorcism, the demons were forced to leave. The demon disclosed some things of general interest. In 1928, an evil spirit said that it was self-evident that the rage of Antichrist would soon be directed against the Catholic Church. Out of the mouth of the possessed woman, the demon spoke, "We read the signs of the times when people write the year 2000, the end will be at hand." Regarding the coming of Antichrist, Anna Catherine Emmerich has written, "I heard that Lucifer would be freed for a time, 50 or 60 years before the year 2000 AD. We know this is just prior to the Second Vatican Council. A number of other devils would be released somewhat earlier as a punishment and source of temptation to sinful human beings." My dearly beloved in Christ, we should wisely follow the suggestion of our Lord and try to understand the signs of the times. It's getting closer. According to the signs foretold in Scripture, the Antichrist may come onto the scene soon, sooner than you think. All the signs foretelling his coming have already taken place. The gospel has been preached throughout the world. The Jews have returned to Palestine, foretold in the book of Deuteronomy. The great apostasy or universal loss of faith has occurred, and there's worldwide moral corruption and persecution of the church. Since the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Paradise, God has permitted Satan and the demons to tempt souls and try to sabotage their efforts to acquire holiness. Those temptations are direct orders from Satan to his demons. They especially hate people who pray much. My dearly beloved in Christ, we must prepare for what's coming because time is short. Antichrist will catch people unaware. Fools, they'll adore him. Fools, they'll worship him. Fools, they'll think he's great. They'll be tricked into thinking he's a great, great person. Most people will think that Antichrist is honest, loving, and kind, but he is evil and will turn on everyone like a poisonous snake. It's likely that when the world's in turmoil, Antichrist will appear and rule the world. This will be Satan's ultimate victory. The majority will follow him because he'll perform many false miracles, bringing peace to a war-torn world and help those who'll be lacking resources like food. Prior to his coming, there may be famine in many places and food will be scarce. My dearly beloved in Christ, since deception is one of the special traits of Satan, people will be deceived when Antichrist comes. The deception will be worldwide. Everyone will have to pay homage to him and take his mark to survive. No one can buy or sell or move around freely without it. Even priests will take his mark. Many will be divided and ostracized from families who will want to take the mark. Those who take the mark will be his forever. Once they're marked, there's no turning back. For some, the mark of Antichrist will become a horrible cancer. Despite Satan's evil plans, successes, and accomplishments, our Lord will defeat Antichrist. The Jews will be converted, and the words of Jesus Christ will be fulfilled. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. The Blessed Virgin Mary assured us at Fatima that in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. Our Lady will play an important role during the great conflict between the Church and Satan. She's described in the Apocalypse as a woman crowned with 12 stars. Our Heavenly Mother will crush Satan's head. My dearly beloved in Christ, we must prepare for Satan's deceptions and for what's ahead by being very humble, vigilant, and prayerful. In order to persevere unto the end, we must also have a total and complete trust in God and a strong devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. If you and your family have not made the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, as described by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, do so as soon as possible. Frequently attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and receive the sacraments often. If you're currently living in the state of mortal sin, come back to God and go to confession before it's too late. My dearly beloved in Christ, despite being faced with opposition, difficulties, and failures, we must continually strive to fulfill God's will in our life. Let us fear no evil, because the Lord is with us. In the days ahead, we must be exemplary followers of Christ by the fervor and frequency of our prayers, by our self-denial and practicing charity to others, including the forgiveness of our enemies, by our strictness with ourselves and by our perseverance in the practice of penance and fasting. We must place ourselves under Mary's mantle and live in union with her. My dearly beloved in Christ, we all need to pray more. Pray, pray, pray without ceasing. Pray 5 decades of the Rosary faithfully every day, and more if you can. Avoid extreme thoughts, wasting time with trivia on your phone, and talking about things that would disturb the peace of your soul. In moments of sorrow especially, turn to God in prayer. Pray and do penance for the conversion of sinners and the salvation of souls. Pray fervently to the Holy Ghost for discernment so you will not be deceived. My dearly beloved in Christ, our Lord will triumph in the end in spite of all his enemies. The final words recorded in St. Matthew's Gospel are, "I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." The profound words of our Lord, "I am with you all days," are among the most consoling words in the Bible. Jesus assured us that not even the gates of hell will prevail against the Catholic Church, for he is with her all days, even to the end of the world. Jesus Christ described the last times in a very somber manner. Holy Scripture portrays an unparalleled outbreak of evil called the Great Apostasy before Antichrist rules the world. Prior to the reign of Antichrist, revolutions will occur and the foundations of society will be radically changed. My dearly beloved in Christ, our Lord will find very little faith on earth when he returns for his second coming. Only a remnant of faithful will remain. He'll be persecuted by Antichrist. God permits these trials in view of the greater good resulting from them. When Jesus Christ gloriously returns to earth for his second coming, he will conquer Antichrist. Those who have remained faithful and been waiting for him will be happy and joyful. Those who did not believe will finally see the truth. Then Antichrist will be cast into hell. The wicked shall then suffer the just punishment of their iniquity. My dearly beloved in Christ, Mother Mary Potter powerfully describes the path we must take if we wish to be faithful to the end. She writes, at the time of the Passion of our Lord, that most fearful time of the domination of Satan, of the dominion of Satan, when he was allowed a power he will never be allowed again. Even though the Church has already commenced that season of persecution, trial, and temptation, in which she will in herself represent again the Passion of our Lord, at that memorable time, who, I ask you, were the faithful ones that continue with our Lord to the end? In the time of general temptation, when even Peter denied the Master he loved so well, who were the happy ones, blessed with a special happiness for all eternity for their faithfulness in that terrible hour? Who did not abandon their Lord when he, for their sakes, was seemingly abandoned even by his heavenly Father? Who hoped and trusted in him when others despaired? Who, though weeping, adored while the world around scoffed and mocked? Who were they, and whence had they the strength to stand when others fell? Who were they? Weigh well the answer. Those who remained in the company of Mary. Whence had they this great grace? From her all-powerful intercession. As it was then, so will it be again. And it will be well for us to think of this earnestly, seriously, not carelessly, but with thought and prayer. You will say, but have we not already great devotion to Our Lady? Do we not all love her? Before answering, I will question you. Had not St. Peter devotion to Our Lady? Did he not love her as likewise the other apostles? Yes. Oh yes, but St. John, who learned from the heart of his Master the love most pleasing to it, also learned the devotion most efficacious to himself. It was a child's devotion to his mother. On the cross, our Lord but proclaimed and cemented what had been before. Therefore, in the time of trial, St. John sought the company of his mother, according to the revelations of the saints, returning to her house brokenhearted with the account of what had happened to Jesus. It was in her company that St. John and the holy women walked the weary way to Calvary. In closing, Our Lady's own may have crosses that would break a less strong spirit than the one they've obtained from Mary. But they have been strengthened by her and in a special manner. And the hour of trial finds them prepared and trusting in her maternal care, so that they walk safely through dangerous places, or rather, they feel carried, secure, as a child feels in its mother's arms, even if she were to carry it in the midst of a raging battle. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.